Loud. Dishing It Out with Gary O'Hanlon and Gareth Mullins. A Go Loud original podcast.
Your ultimate culinary companion.
Go Loud. Sounds better with us.
Hi folks, Gareth here from Dishing It Out, and we're back with another episode of Boys Side as myself and Gary get ready to get the pod back up and running. This week we've got a wonderful episode with the amazing Una Leonard from 2210 Patisserie in Mullingar, where she really gives us such an honest account of her struggles that she had in the early part of her career. Now she is going from strength to strength, opening bakeries all over the place. And since we've spoken to her, she's even bought a house and renovated it. Ed Chef is also with us with his culinary conundrum. So sit back, enjoy our episode of Dishing It Out, bite-sized version.
That was when my baking journey began, because I was at home and I didn't have a kitchen to go into. I had a little nephew with curly brown hair and beautiful big brown eyes that used to lie in the bed with me. I couldn't have mirrors on view. I couldn't have windows on view, because if I seen myself, I would have had a panic attack. I was extremely anorexic at the time, bulimic. I couldn't hold food. I was trying to, my intake was probably about a quarter of an apple a day. So at the stage, we were trying to introduce more food. So with that, the nurses were coming and we were making plans to, instead of having one bowl of peas a day, we were splitting the same bowl that I could see the peas in into two bowls. So it looked like I was eating twice a day, and then you introduce bit by bit after that. So they were coming more often to the house, and any other Irish person you want, have something nice for them.
Yeah.
So I threw myself into the kitchen to bake something for them to have.
No way.
I felt so bad that we're taking day out. Like, I know it was your job, but I was like, then you needed something nice for them. And like, I was still... from the outside, I was still really upbeat. If you've seen me, I was happy. I was playing camogie, except for the skirt was falling off me and the jersey was down to my ankles. Like, I was still living my day-to-day life. I was extremely self-conscious. I looked sick, if anyone knew me, but I was still living. I was just a really numb person. I was really, really numb, and I didn't care for myself and I didn't love myself.
Did you know why you were feeling numb? Like, I mean, did you have things that was making you feel that way? Or was it more a case of, like, what is wrong?
I'm figuring it out now. Yeah. Money coming to it now. Like, I'm literally, that's 10 years, more than 10 years ago, 12, 13, 14 years ago. I'm only learning about that now.
Right.
But as the nurses came, I was baking more. Now, they were probably burned.
They loved your gas
probably,
then.
I don't know if they did. I'd say they probably broke a few teeth with the stuff.
Isn't that funny? I have an uncle and daddy's son. He used to walk every night. And when I think the amount of shite bread and
the stuff
cookies,
you gave them. Yeah.
The muck I gave that
man.
So I know you're coming.
And do you know what? They feel really bad for you. Yeah. Because they're like, oh God, we can't see that bad. So they're like, really nice. Really
you know,
nice.
You're looking at their jaws. He's eating so weird, you know.
And
what's
like,
wrong with your
face? Keep eating it then. If it's nice, keep eating it. And you're like, But I kept doing that. And then my nephew asked me to make him a cake. I've never made a cake before. Like,
just a little curly-headed fella.
He's so cute. Yeah, oh my God. But anyway, he's now 14 next week. But anyway.
Oh, he loves that. You call him real cute. Oh,
yeah. And like, I named the bakery after him. So his date of birth is the 2nd of the 2nd, 2010. That's where 2210 came
you
from.
I was just wondering.
So, thanks for ruining my question.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Need more questions. More questions.
So I keep telling him now, I'm like, you're never going to get into any nightclubs underage.
It's like, that's a lovely story when he was young and pretty and curly brown hair. Yeah. When he's a little prick walking from Mullen Jar when he's 17 and a fag hanging out of his mouth. And it's just going to be like, get out of the shop.
We're lucky. He's still a really, now if it was his younger brother, he'd probably go wild.
He'll go through a period where he'll annoy you. Yeah.
Well, I made him this John Deere cake. Now, when I tell you this took 5 days to make, it was stale by the time but anyway,
you got to do the John Deere's big.
You got to do the John Deere's. So I made a John Deere cake, and now a good engine on it.
And then took
went.
55 photos of it, so you never had to do it
Two photos of it.
No way.
But at the time, I wasn't making cakes for people, so I it was more of a thing that I set up at mom's table. Like, it was in the table, like everyone was doing.
John Deere's a tractor, right?
Dude.
Oh, Jesus Christ, so much.
Yes.
Oh my God.
I've actually.
I just trailed it out.
So it kind of is like a car, but it has like a loader on the front of it.
Well, they do lawnmowers as well. But
oh, yeah, yeah.
I'll tell you what, though, man, it's one of the greatest gifts that you'll ever have is take
him on a gator.
I'm going to take him on a tractor run.
Yeah. Anyway, I made the tractor for him. Absolutely, we were all chuffed with it. It looked like a tractor. And I think the neighbour then asked me for a cake. And I was like, if you don't mind it being stale, I'll make you a cake because it takes me 5 days to make.
I was going to say, what was inside?
I know, it was actually one of the chocolate biscuits. So that's the key.
Chocolate biscuit
all the way for the first couple of years.
Yeah.
And then it just happened like that.
Even I can make them once.
Yeah. I thought people were just being nice to me by like, oh God, there's a fragile girl. Let's ask her to make it. So then the cakes were, I started like making cakes and I was so, there's one in particular. It was meant to be a donkey, but I'm going to show you the picture of it afterwards. It is not a donkey. It looks like the donkey. There's more teeth than donkey in it, but I'll give you the picture so you can actually show with this because it's the funniest thing. Some of the cakes didn't resemble cakes at all, but that wasn't what it was about for me. It was being in the kitchen. Yeah. It was in my safe space. It was hours would go by and I was in a place that I felt safe. I was happy with what I was doing.
Your mommy must have just been, I mean, I know, like, you know, reading up a wee bit about the relationship before you come in, you know, and just being a parent myself, you know, like it must have been a mad period.
I remember
you were living with her.
Yeah. Asking mom when I was writing the book, so 2 years ago. And I remember just having to sit down with mom and for the first time ever ask her side of the story.
Yeah, that was hard.
That was tough because I've never actually went there and it broke my heart. I remember asking her, what was it like? And the tears were rolling down her face when she said, I used to go into the bed at night and just go over and make sure you were still there. Yeah. And then I was asking my sisters on their side of thing. Well, my sisters is in college in Sligo at the time. And it hates me every time I even talk about it. I don't talk about it too much, but Mam used to send a message out to my two sisters to say that we survived another day, every day. And he used to wait for that message to come through to make sure that we were okay.
Right.
And that they were going to come home, not to a funeral, and they were going to come home to the house, even though it wasn't a happy house at the time. Mm. Obviously, it was, everyone was on running and around. Hopes. Yeah. But, yeah.
Wow.
And I do feel there's a part of me that went through the guilt of, like, what did I take away from them for them? Because this is not like 2 weeks. This is 2 or 3 years of a really tough time that they didn't know what was happening.
They must be so proud of you now.
Like, they'll never tell me that.
No, they do. I bet you they know. Sure, look at now, you are.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, they're very supportive of me. And
yeah, of course.
They continue to take the piss out of me.
Good. Proper order.
Yeah.
Well, you're in the right place.
Yeah. Oh, no, you don't get a nice sound. Like, they don't say anything nice about you. You go in there and you get ripped to shreds.
But one of the questions I had, and I'm going to pull it back to food again, is that, like, in that time when you were creating recipes and you were trying to develop yourself as a baker, which subconsciously maybe you were doing that, how was the tasting process and the development process? It just wasn't happening.
No, my dad really liked it.
Oh, right, okay. So you used someone else.
Yeah, well, it was there. I can't remember fully. I do remember like taking and spitting and then like I was bulimic.
Right, okay, yeah, okay.
I used to have it down to a tea, 12 minutes, glass of water, boom.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, you had all these things were all like done to a T. Like you knew everyone, like you knew what to do.
And then when did the bake? Was the bakery the next part of that then?
So up until 2 years ago, there was no plan. So this is all just rolled over.
Oh, it's only 2 years. All of this.
No.
No, but I mean the bakery and everything.
No, the bakery is 10 years this February.
All right.
So
okay,
this was. So I went back then to college. So I had one semester left in college that I needed to graduate. And once
With Athlone or Dublin? Or
Galway.
Oh, Galway, yeah.
So I went back and finished and graduated my last semester. And
that was in culinary arts?
That was in culinary arts and business. Oh, yeah.
Good school.
And I graduated on the 14th of November. And I went in to Mullingar. It was in the early in that January. I was just after turning 22 and I saw this little shop and it had turnkey on it, €750 call, whatever. So I went into the shop and I had an overwhelming feeling that I was in the right place at the right time. And I told your man there that I wanted it. So I rang my mum and dad to tell them that I was opening a bakery in Mullingar and they're like, oh Jesus, oh no, oh shit, what is she doing? And my hope, my whole thing when I set up that bakery and I walked into that shop that day, it was, first off, it was the first time I had a good feeling in a very long time.
Yeah, right.
I didn't have a plan to I didn't have a plan to open a bakery. I didn't know what I was going to do.
But you were baking Billy-O at this time.
I was baking, yeah, I was doing a bit. It was very busy. Like, yeah, for a small kitchen at home. I was wrecking Mam's house and all the presses, and Mam doesn't even have a kitchen.
Baking and it's even the smallest place.
And I was doing it through the night because there was the only time that nobody was in at night.
At least you were getting the mise en place.
Yeah.
That was your future.
That was it. Like, literally, I knew I was going to be working through the night. Yeah. So I went into this space, knew it was the right place, knew it was the right time. I rang the woman that owns it first and told her that I wanted it. And then I rang my mom and dad to tell them I was doing it. I knew by the sign in the store. Like, shit. Where are you getting the money for this?
Imagine the text she sent, but you hung up the phone.
Yeah. I literally was like, I remember looking at my bank account, and because I had an overdraft for my student loan.
Deadly.
So I had my loan done and I had minus 750 euro in my draft. And I was like, oh, jeez, that's loads of money. That's loads of money. Yay. I can do this. And then I said to myself, I was getting paid for a wedding cake. And I was like, that'll pay for the first month. That'll be fine. Like, and then I went to the credit union. At the time, you could sit down in front of your neighbour and just tell them that you need a new car, even though you're having to drive in the car. And you're like, I need 10,000 euro. So I opened up the bakery with 10,000 euro. Me and Mam ripped up the floors. We put the floors back down with a YouTube video. My dad made the countertops. I never used a till system before in my life. And whatever equipment was still in the cafe at the time was what we used to set it up.
Thought it was a coffee machine there.
Oh, no, there was no coffee machine. No coffee for the first 4 years. Couldn't afford that.
Oh, really?
No. No coffee, it was just a bakery. Like,
okay, final one for culinary conundrums for this week. Hi guys, Dishing It Out is absolutely my favorite pod, so keep up the great work. I know it's not the season, but I really want to get into barbecuing this year and would love some basic advice on how best to get started. My biggest question really is whether I should go gas or charcoal, and what are the best steak cuts to use. Barry in Claremorris.
Well, Barry and Claire Morris, you were talking to two barbecue pitmasters right here. Thank you very much. We do like to spark up the old barbecues every now and again. Look, charcoal number one anyway for me. Look, gas is handy and it's convenient or whatever, but I just don't like a gas flame going into food direct that I'm about to eat, you know. With the charcoal, you know, you can buy lump coal, like Irish lump stuff, if you want to, you know, buy something that's Irish and authentic. You can get it from here, there and everywhere. You can add smoke to it. You can add more. You can manipulate the flavor more by buying, you know, whiskey oak smoked chippings and soaking them in water and dispersing them in amongst the coal or oak or whatever wood you, and it just does what it says on the tin. There's lots of whiskey oak out there, like old barrels that would have aged whiskey. They get chopped down or chipped down. A lot of guys that make bacon or smoked salmon or smoked bacon or smoked sausages tend to use whiskey oak barrels. I buy them. Applewood is a really good one, beechwood. So definitely go with charcoal. I like the Kamado Joes, you know what I mean? I have a few different types of barbecues. You don't want to maybe go down the route I've gone down where you're always in trouble with your wife and you're either buying motorbikes or buying barbecues that you don't need, you can't afford, but you buy it anyway because you think you're cool. I am cool. And as far then as cuts of meat, listen, cuts of meat all depends on how much time you have at your disposal. Obviously, when it comes to lamb, shoulders and leg are amazing. You know, they're like, lamb sort of leg is a first class cut, that's a bit quicker, like you're looking at a few hours there. Shoulder, it's lower temperature, longer time. The daddy of all that everybody likes to, at some point in their barbecue career, you're going to want to do a brisket of beef. You're going to want to try and have a brisket in your barbecue for 8 to 12 hours, and when you take off the peach paper and you touch it and you rest it and then you slice it and you turn it over, it's got this beautiful pink hue on it. And that, my friend, is whenever you just clap the crowd and you walk around your house with your shirt off and you rub your belly and you wave over at your neighbor, give him the middle finger and say, who the man?
Yeah.
I'm the man.
Remind me not to go out for a barbecue. It's turning into a sex party.
I think the decision that's made is what's your budget, you know? So barbecues, you can really spend what you want on them. Gary there said the Komodo Joe, I actually have one of them as well. So look, it's the egg, ceramic egg barbecue. You have to spend about £1,500. So, but if you own a ceramic egg barbecue, then you're into the world of slow roasting briskets and bits and pieces like that. And, you know, that's only for the medium-sized one. If you want to buy the bigger one, again, you're up into $2,500-3,000. Yeah, I mean, they're saucy. But I actually have a small little gas barbecue as well. The challenge is with the likes of a Komodo Joe, they take about a half an hour to get cleaned, lit. So it's not the type of thing you just come in from work and say, right, I'm going to throw on a couple of steaks. So, you know, that's where I have a small little Weber. During the summer, I have the boat and the mountain, the deck, and on a Saturday.
And as regards the cleaning, do you clean it straight after or before you start the next cook?
Well, no, the Komodo Joe in particular has vents on it. So all you just do is give the grates buy yourself a good wire brush, give them a good scrape, and then you let it burn out. I always burn my coal out, but some people close them up and try and save the coal, but I don't think it's worth saving. And that process of it just burning itself off will clean the coals for you.
That's it for today's Dishing It Out Bite Size. Just a little taster to whet the appetite for a new season coming in early July on Go Loud or wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks for listening. And remember, subscribe and like on Go Loud or wherever you get your podcast. Stay tuned for some more Bite Size over the next few weeks.
Dishing It Out with Gary O'Hanlon and Gareth Mullins, a Go Loud original podcast.
Subscribe for free on the Go Loud app and never miss an episode.
Go Loud. Sounds better with us.